Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace.
Welcome again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. Tonight's Bible study is going to be coming out of the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we're going to focus in on verse 37. John, chapter 6, verse 37. It says this, "All that the Father giveth me, shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Now what we're doing in the broadcast is we're picking one verse out of the Gospel of John. This is the fifth verse. It's a one-verse series. And then we're preaching a message from that one verse. We're breaking the text down, giving it a title, and then seeking to bring out the truths that are contained in that verse. We've done John 1:29, John 3:14, John 4:48, John 5:24, and now tonight John 6 and verse 37. Again, if you'd like a copy of any of these CDs, then you just send us a request for it. The address will be given to you at the end of the radio broadcast by my son, and we'll send you a free copy of the CD. We're going to title the message tonight from John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me." It's based on the first part of the verse, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." So that's the entitlement of the lesson, "All that the Father giveth me." Now we're going to break it down into three sections. "All that the Father giveth me" will be the first section we look at. The second section will be "shall come to me." And then it gives us the blessings of them that come to him. "He will no wise, I will no wise cast them out." Let me give you 3 points again. "All that the Father giveth me" will be the first thing we look at. "Shall come to me," we're going to look at that secondly. Then number 3, "I will no wise cast them out." So I think that as this verse is filled with great truth, and I think that it can be a great blessing to you if you pay close attention as we teach tonight from this text. Now it says, "All that the Father giveth me." Now, this brings up several questions. It, first of all, gives us the idea that, of course, the Heavenly Father, "all that the Father giveth me," Jesus is talking about himself. So he's talking about a people. He's referring to a people that has been given to the Son. A people that has been given to the Son. Now, it says, "they shall come to me," and then it says that they will no wise be casted out. So it prompts us to ask some questions. To what purpose were they given? To what purpose was they given? When were they given? And what were they given for? So we'll ask several questions and seek to answer this. "All that the Father giveth me." Who is these people that was given to the Father? Well, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us when they were given. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. We taught this on the radio broadcast when we taught through the book of Ephesians. But in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Now, the call is in verse 3 for them to praise the Lord. Praise God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the reason why in verse 4. "According as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." So that's when the Father gave us to the Son. He gave us before the foundation of the world. And that's one of the great spiritual blessings that he wants you to know after that you're saved. I mean, when I was first saved, all I knew is I was a sinner. And that's really all you need to know in order to be saved. You know, you're a sinner and you realize that Christ died on Calvary for sinners and rose again the third day. And I come to him believing in him, trusting in him as my Savior. That's all I knew. But as I continue to study the Scriptures, I begin to understand that I was actually given and that all the saints, all the sheep of God was given before the foundation of the world. Let me go ahead and read the text again. "According as he hath chosen us." He done it. God done it. He gave us to the Son. He done it before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So John 6:37 says, "All that the Father giveth me." And when were we given? We were given before the world ever began. So you see, the plan of God existed before he ever said, let there be light, before he ever created the universe, before he ever created the world. You see that the plan concerning salvation, concerning you, was decided and determined before the world ever began. So that's what it means when it says, all that the Father giveth me. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, 4, and 5, tells you when that was. Now, it goes on to say, all that the Father giveth me. We've determined when that took place. When he actually gave us to the Son was before the world ever began. And then Jesus took flesh and went to Calvary and paid our sin debt. Now, these people that are given have been called by a variety of names in Scripture. But since we're in the Gospel of John chapter 6, let's go ahead and look at the Gospel of John chapter 10. Who are the given? Who are the given? Well, they're also called sheep in John chapter 10. In verse 16, he's talking about his sheep. Well, let's begin at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He said he was laying down his life for his sheep. Verse 16, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There's no doubt to the fact that they will hear his voice. The Lord's going to see to it that they do. And there should be one fold and one shepherd. So he has other sheep that he had back at the time in his earthly ministry. He was here primarily for Israel. When he first sent the commission out, when he just sent his 12 out, he sent them to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. And then in Matthew 28, when he gave the great commission to his disciples, he then sent them to the world. And he said, go ye therefore and teach, make disciples of all nations. So he has sheep in all nations. For I saved, I was a lost sheep. So we don't know who they are. He just tells us to go spread in the gospel. Our job is to spread the gospel. That's what he's called us to do. That's one of the reasons why he established his church, is so they would go forth and they would spread the message of the gospel. They would minister his ordinances and they would teach his people. So that's one of the purposes of the Master's Church, or the main purpose of the Master's Church, is to do that and to be a public place of worship, of course. So he has sheep throughout the whole world. And then we go forth, preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit uses the message of the gospel to draw his lost sheep to himself. So let's go back to our text in John chapter 6. So one name for these that are given, is they are called sheep. Let me show you a couple other things. I'll go ahead before we go back to John 6. 2 Timothy chapter 2, they're also called the elect. They're not only called sheep, but they're also called the elects. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, the word elect simply means chosen. And that certainly goes with the word that's given in Ephesians chapter 1, where it says he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. It's the word elect. The word elect means chosen. It's applied to save Gentiles as well as it's applied to save Jews. Now, here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is in the latter stages of his ministry. Wouldn't be long. He's in a Roman jail. Wouldn't be long before he'd be beheaded. And he's talking about his ministry. And here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says in verse 10 that I endure all things for the elect's sake. Now, here he uses the term elect. The word elect means chosen. It's the same thing as the sheep in John 10. It's the same thing as the given in John chapter 6. It's all the same, just called by different names. It's talking about the Lord's people that he chose before the world ever began. And then he opens their hearts and he calls them by his grace. 2 Timothy 2:10, let me read it. I endure all things for the elect's sake. Paul didn't know who God's elect were. He didn't know more than I do. He just tells us to go forth and present the message of salvation, and then he calls his people with the word. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. So Paul went through shipwreck, he went through beatings, he went through stonings in order to get the message to God's people. Now it says that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Now let me read the whole verse now. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He's seen the necessity of us going forth with the gospel. He seemed a necessity of us going forth, sharing the message of Jesus Christ, how He died for sinners on Calvary and rose again the third day. He calls His sheep with the gospel message. For you were saved, you was lost sheep. Now you were saved, you was a found sheep. And who found you was the Lord. Shepherd wasn't lost, you was. And the day you were saved was the day the shepherd found you and drawed you right to Himself. So, all that the Father giveth me is referring to His lost sheep. They're also called the elect. They're also simply called also His people. Matthew chapter 1 says, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, which means Savior. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. So He refers to them as His people, refers to them as the elect, He refers to them as His sheep, and He refers to them in John 6, 37, which is where we're at tonight. He refers to them as the given. All that the Father giveth me. They've been given to the Son. They've been given to the Son, and the Son came then and paid their sin debt on Calvary. And in time, through the means of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the Word, He calls them to Himself by His grace. All right, let's go back to John chapter 6 and verse 37 again. We've just interpreted the first part of it. Now, you don't have to agree with how I interpret it. I think as you compare Scripture with Scripture, that's the right interpretation. But you still have to deal with the fact that it says, all that the Father giveth me. That's what it says. Most generally, when people quote this verse, they just quote half of it. It says, and him that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. That's true also. But that goes with the rest of the verse. You got to quote the whole verse. You got to teach the whole verse. And you got to believe the whole verse. It all goes together. Remember, the title of the message this evening is All That the Father Giveth. All right, let's move on to the second part of it. We've looked at all the Father giveth me. Now, notice the next part. It says, they shall come to me. They shall come to me. Boy, that's a blessing, is it not? It doesn't say, I hope they will. It doesn't say, I certainly will going to do everything I can, and then it'll be somehow up to them to get there or not. It leaves no doubt as to the fact that they're going to come, is what I want you to see in the text. All that the Father giveth me shall come. No doubt here in the text to it. When we read the verse earlier in John chapter 10, when it says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, I believe it's speaking of the Gentiles that he's going to save. It says, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There'll be one fold and one shepherd. It says, they shall, you have it again, they shall hear my voice. And back here in John chapter 6, 44, it says, basically, it says the same thing. It says, they shall come to me. In verse 37 of John 6, John 10 says, they shall hear my voice. So, folks, that means they're going to come. And there's no doubt to the fact that they're going to come. It doesn't say if they come or I'm going to do everything they can so they will come. It just says they're going to come. Now, I'm going to tell you the reason why that is. The same chapter of John 6 tells you the reason why that master is so confident that they'll come. It's in verse 44. No man, John 6, 44, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now, he can say in John 6, 37, that all that the Father giveth me is going to come. Now, the reason why he can say they're going to come is because, as you see in verse 44, it says, no man can come except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. He's going to draw them to himself. He's going to use the gospel message to draw them. He's going to use the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to draw them. He's going to reach down and open their understanding and open their heart. He's going to draw them. The day I was saved, the Lord drawed me. I understood I was lost, and I understood where I was going. I understood why Jesus died and why He rose again. I began to believe what the Scripture said about Jesus, and I came to Him and trusted and believed on Him as my Savior. But I did that because He drawed me. My friend, it's not my job to draw people. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. It's the Lord that does the drawing. He drove me unto himself. And my friend, that's who you have to let draw. We preach the message. We deliver the message. We preach the gospel to every creature. We spread the message. And then the Lord uses that message to draw his people to himself. Verse 44, no man can come to me. Aren't you glad the verse doesn't stop with the first half of verse 44? No man can come to me. Now, there's a reason why no man can come except the Father draw him. You see, before we were born again, before we were saved, we were dead in our trespasses, in our sins. Ephesians 2, 1 says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And then in verse 5, it teaches us that God, who was rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, he quickened us. We were dead, he quickened us. Where quickened means he made you alive. My friend, dead people can't do anything. They really can't. They can't get up and walk. They can't get up and come to anybody. That's your condition spiritually. You are a spiritual corpse before you were saved. And what happened the day you were saved is the Lord made you alive. The old writer of the hymn, Amazing Grace, John Newton, part of his song, Amazing Grace, said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. He was lost, but now he was found. Who found him? Well, the shepherd found him. He was blind. He was blind, but now he saw. Who opened his eyes? Well, the Lord opened his eyes. Who opened his heart? Well, the Lord opened his heart. Of Acts chapter 16, it talks about Lydia, a seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord's the one that opens your heart, friends. He's the one that opens your heart. You were dead. Acts 16:14. Let me read the verse to you. Acts 16:14. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opens your heart. He opens your understanding. He gives you an understanding of his word. He gives you an understanding of salvation and why Jesus died. He gives you an understanding of your own condition. You realize you're lost and dead, and you need to be saved. And you come to him. See? You come to him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He can say they're going to come because he, in verse 44, says he's going to draw them. No man can come. That's on their own. No man will come on their own. The Father has to draw them. And that's what he did the day that he saved your soul. If you'll think back of that convicting power of the Spirit and that draw you had to come to him, that wasn't self-made. That wasn't man-made. That was given to you to the Father. That was given to you of him. My friend, that all came from him. And he deserves all the glory and praise and honor for your salvation. He's the one that done it. He's the one that drawed you. He's the one that quickened you. In the book of Luke chapter 19, in Luke 19 and the verse 10 is what we're going to be looking at. Luke 19 and verse 10. In verses 1 through 9, of Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 9, we see Jesus pass through Jericho, and he sees a man there, a short man, Zacchaeus. We all know the story. Most of us know the story of Zacchaeus. He was known as a wee little man. We used to sing that when we was a small child in church. And he desired to see Jesus, so he climbed up in a sycamore tree, and Jesus went by his way and looked up. And there he was in that tree. He was a sinner. He was a publican. He was a covetous, hell-bound sinner. And Jesus came by him that day and called him by name. Called him by name. How could he call him by name? He knew him. He knew him, my friend, since before the world ever began. He said, I'm going to your house today. And he went to his house. And as a result of Jesus going there, Zacchaeus' life was changed. And Zacchaeus was saved. But I want you to listen to Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. He seeks. He quickens. He draws. He calls. See? That's why he can say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He's going to seek them out. My friend, you, before you were saved, was a lost sheep. Jesus wasn't lost. You was. He found you. I don't say the day I found Jesus. I say the day Jesus found me was the day that I was saved. He made me realize my condition, and he made me realize that I was lost. And he drawed me, and he made me alive. He quickened me, and he called me by his grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says something similar. Let me go ahead and read this to you before. Boy, I need to pick up the pace. Running out of time. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, he saved us. He saved us, verse 9 of 2 Timothy 1. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. He didn't call us because we were such good people. We were sinners. We didn't earn him calling us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. Here we go back to being given to the Son. It said, given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. The day we were saved, he called us with a holy calling. This is an inward call that opens the heart. My friend, I stand in the pulpit almost every church service that I preach, and I exhort sinners to come and trust in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And that, my friend, is a outward call. I outwardly call upon men to repent. But my friend, when the inward call goes forth, and that inward call goes forth by the Holy Spirit, when that goes forth and it opens the heart, then they come. Then they come. My friend, they come when the Father draws them, when the Father opens their heart. And when they come, they owe that completely. They owe that completely to the Lord. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. The question was asked to disciples, whom do men say that I am? Simon Peter responded, some people think you're John the Baptist. Some people think you're Elijah. Then Jesus said, whom do ye say that I am? Simon Peter says, we believe that thou art the Christ. We believe that thou art the Christ. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon Peter knew he was. He knew who he was. Now listen to Jesus' response. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Listen to this closely, folks. For flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, the reason why Peter knew who he was is the Heavenly Father revealed it unto him. So, he says in John 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You're going to come. And to come to Jesus means to come and to believe on him, to trust in him as their Savior. And John chapter 6 again, let's look down into verse 40. John chapter 6 and verse 40, it says, this is the will of him that sent me, that of everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So my friend, to come to the Lord Jesus means to see the Son and to believe on him. That's what it means to come to him, to come to him in repentance and faith, to come to him realizing that you're a sinner and that he is the Savior, and then it's to believe on him, to trust in him, and he'll give you everlasting life. All right, let's finish the last of this with John 6:37 text entitled All That the Father Giveth. We notice when he gave them. He gave them before the world began. We notice when they will come. They will come when the Father draws them. And when the Father draws them, they will come. Now, he goes on to say, him that comes to me, I will no wise cast them out. Now, folks, that's a blessed text, is it not? Him that comes to me, I will no wise cast them out. He's not going to say you've done too much, you're too big a sinner, you're too bad, you're from the wrong family, etc. You come to him in repentance and faith, my friend, he'll wash you clean from your sin and save your soul. In the book of Luke chapter 15, we're told about the parable of the publican. The parable of the lost son, the parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal son had went off and wasted his substance in riotous living. And my friend, there was a day in his life that he came to himself and he wanted to go home. He wanted to go home. And he had a big speech all laid out. Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. And as he turns around and as he begins to come home, the father saw him while he was a great way off. And when he came to him, my friend, the father received that old wayward son, that old wayward sinner. He received him. He gave him a change of raiment. He put on new clothes on him. He called him his son, and he restored him back where he needed to be. My friend, that's a picture of salvation. The parable of the prodigal is all about the reception. That's the reception every repentant sinner gets that repents of their sin, comes to themselves, sees what they were, and comes to the Lord Jesus for salvation. You come to Him, He won't cast you out. The thief on the cross came to Him. He came to Him before He died. He said, Lord, I want You to remember me when You come into Your kingdom. He said, today You'll be with me in paradise. You come to Him, He'll nowise cast you out. You come to Him in repentance and faith, He'll wash you clean. And my friend, He'll give you everlasting life and make you His child. All that the Father giveth me, they shall come to me. Him that comes to me, what's it say? He won't cast them out. He won't cast them out the day they come. That's good news for the sinner, isn't it? My friend, but it's also good news for the saint. He won't cast you out any time after that either. He won't cast you out any time. Now, He may chastise you. He may whip you. He may correct you. But my friend, He won't cast you out. You're His child. He loves you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, we are kept by the power of God. We're kept by His power. John chapter 10 and verse 28 says that we are in His hands, and no one can pluck us out of the Father's hands, nor out of the Son's hands. He's not going to cast you out. Isn't that good news for the saint? Simon Peter failed the Lord miserably in the New Testament, right after Jesus was arrested. Simon Peter denied the Lord three times. Well, I wouldn't have wanted nothing to do with him after he forsook me in my hour of need, would you? When Jesus resurrected from the dead in Mark chapter 16, verse 7, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter that I've resurrected again from the dead. Why did he mention Peter by name? Because I think he was the most hurt. He failed the Lord tremendously and was probably ready to give up. But my friend, the Lord restored him back to his position that he had before. He came to him, appeared to him, raised him back up. And my friend, 50 days after falling, you can read in the book of Acts chapter 2 on the Feast of Pentecost, this man who had failed so miserably, who Jesus restored, who Jesus never casted out, stood on the temple steps and preaches a message, and 3,000 people are saved. My friend, He won't cast you out. It's good news for the sinner. When you come to Him for salvation, He won't cast you out. It's good news for you when you become a saint too. He won't cast you out any time after that either. His love for you is not based on your performance. It's based on His grace. Well, folks, that's the message, all that the Father giveth. I pray this has been a blessing to you tonight. And if you'd like a free copy of this CD, you write to us at the address given at the end of the broadcast. Thank you for listening.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening, or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.